May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
I grew up in Indiana with a big backyard that included a raised garden bed where each summer my family would plant cherry tomatoes, green peppers, and cucumbers. I always loved the process of watching things slowly grow until they were ready to pick and enjoy. I knew that because of the seasons, we had to plant at a certain time and wait until the harvest was ready. I knew this, and yet, one fall, after carving pumpkins for Halloween, my sisters and I decided to plant some leftover pumpkin seeds in the garden. I don't know if we thought it was just something silly to do or if we imagined that they would miraculously grow like in a fairy tale. But as quickly as we had planted them, we forgot and moved on with the rest of the year. The surprise came next spring, when my parents were surprised to find plants growing in the garden before they had planted for the season. All of a sudden, these small sprouts quickly expanded into vines with big, wide leaves that completely took over the garden bed. We waited in suspense to see what had grown, and lo and behold, small pumpkins started to form. What began as something small transformed into something beyond what I, as a small child, could have imagined. My family as a whole was pretty surprised at how this had occurred, how all of a sudden we had this massive growth of vines and pumpkins. The kingdom of God is like a child who plants a pumpkin seed in winter and months later marvels at its growth. Today, we get a gospel chocked full of parable after parable after parable, where Jesus weaves together a tapestry of images to help the crowd of people understand the kingdom of heaven. When I was a high school teacher, one of my favorite things to teach about were the parables. We would read through them, decipher their meaning, and then I would offer a modern interpretation or example. And then I would ask my students to do that as well. I was always impressed by their creativity as I heard about the parable of the Lego, the parable of the basketball team. But what I loved was how it helped them understand the purpose of parables to help us connect to these abstract ideas. That when we have complicated ideas like the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is trying to find ways for us to understand, to come closer to the meaning. And that's exactly what the parables were meant to do. Their subject matter was relatable for people at the time, and depending on your background, some of them are still relatable today. Things like farming, baking, fishing, looking for that one thing we cannot find. The parables offer us this way of connecting. They might not all connect to all of us. And Jesus seems to understand that too, as instead of a single image or parable, he offers us this bouquet of parables today. Take, for example, the parables of the mustard seed and of the yeast. The small seed and the yeast that becomes hidden as it is mixed into the dough shows us things that might be easily overlooked and yet are essential for transformation. Here, Jesus offers us an image that is quite radical and different from many of the stories we hear in the Bible. We are often struck with stories of figures like Abraham and Moses, stories of prophets and kings, of the incarnation and the calling of the disciples. Oftentimes, these stories might seem quite distant from our own experience of God. But in these parables, the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast, Jesus says, look at the ordinary things of our world, how marvelous they can be, offering us a way to reflect on what, perhaps in our own daily lives, is working towards the kingdom of heaven. Jesus tells us that it is often in the quiet, invisible work of God and the Spirit that we in our world are transformed. The kingdom of God is what God grows in us, often from seeds we hardly notice. It may be in the small acts of our ordinary daily lives that we find the revolutionary power of God's love. Maybe in a regular practice of calling someone we love, we feel that relationship breaking open. Maybe in showing up to volunteer at a food bank or to sing in the choir or to help with our wonderful children here, you are helping that growth of the kingdom. Or maybe we have a practice of saying a prayer every day that then gets written on our hearts, so one day in time of need, it may come to us as a source of comfort. Daily practices of prayer and gratitude, of service, of community, help us in that time of nourishment. There is something else that strikes me about these first two parables, that they are not about just a single seed or about a single piece of yeast. It is about community. The parable of the mustard seed shows us a shrub that becomes a home for the birds, a safe place for them to live and nest. In the parable of the yeast, we hear of this leavening. According to priest and scholar Andrew McGowan, the three measures of flour that we hear about in the parable would likely be about 40 liters in volume, certainly much more than for one family. In fact, enough for a feast to feed a crowd. The kingdom of heaven that is already present and not yet fully revealed is a kingdom of abundance. It is beloved community where daily bread is broken and shared with many. The rest of today's gospel further expands the teachings on the kingdom of heaven by telling us about the pearl and the hidden treasure. Jesus telling us it is worth giving up everything to follow God. And he calls us to respond to the kingdom with joy, giving ourselves fully. And then, as Reverend Kira preached about last week, Jesus also teaches about a judgment. But this judgment is meant less as a threat and more as an assurance that in the end, good will triumph, justice will prevail, and all shall be made right. These parables offer us hope for what awaits, but it can be hard to be in that space in between. We live in the tension of what has been, what is now, and what is yet to come. It can be hard to wait for the seed to grow, for the yeast to do its work of leavening. And here, for me, our second reading from Romans offers some help of addressing that in-between time, of addressing the challenge of living into this sort of community. It speaks about how the Holy Spirit, too, does work that we don't always see. It says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words." When we are at a loss for words or we simply feel lost, the Spirit is there. I resonate deeply with this line from Romans because I often find myself taking a deep sigh. I actually wasn't aware of how frequently I do this until my wife let me know how frequently it occurred. I find myself sighing deeply when I'm anxious and stressed. When I stand in awe of nature or eat an amazing meal. Or times when I feel something so deeply and just don't know how to respond. And maybe those sighs are not just my own. Maybe they are the Spirit at work in me and in you, praying in the quiet places where words fail, guiding us when we're not sure what to do or how to respond. Our passage from Romans also ends with a bold declaration that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers, things present or to come, powers or height or depth, or anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. This is the promise of the kingdom, the promise that God's love will prevail, that even when we forget where we planted the seeds or when the garden looks empty, the abundant love of God is transforming us and our world. This love grows in the acts of our daily lives. It grows in grassroots movements that work for change. It grows in communities that gather, break bread, and share life together. The kingdom of heaven is not just coming someday. It is growing, rising, transforming in us, among us, and beyond anything we could imagine as we await the fulfillment of the kingdom that is yet to come.